All right. Well, there's a few things to pray about. Let's look into the scripture before we pray and hopefully encourage our hearts a bit. The Gospel of Luke is where we are, the first chapter. It seems appropriate this time of year. And, you know, we are still continuing. We're not very far into it, our little series on God is Able. And the number of places this turns up in the scripture and its different ways that it's put, is anything too difficult for the Lord, is one way. Nothing shall be impossible with God is yet another. In fact, we're looking at that this evening in Luke chapter 1. And again, as we say, a very seasonal place in scripture. Now, let's begin reading in verse 26 of Luke 1. It says, "Now in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." I was going to read to you from Pilgrim's Progress, but having read Sam's letter, I think I'll just summarize briefly. The place where he makes his way into the house of the interpreter, and he sees in this one room a fire burning. And there's a fellow throwing water on the fire, but the fire burns hotter and brighter and keeps going. And he's scratching his head until the fellow says, "Well, this is a picture of grace in the heart and the enemy trying to put it out." He says, "Well, how does it keep burning?" He says, "Well, that's unknown to men, but come around here." And he showed him the backside of the fireplace, and there's a man there pouring oil upon the flame. So it kept burning in the midst of all the resistance. We can pray that for Sam, but it struck me that this is the sort of thing that we are in need of hearing constantly. It's always challenged. Can God do that? Will God do that? And the sense of that pressure is, I think it's so ubiquitous, we're just sort of used to it and maybe numb to it, maybe even unaware of it. And it helps us, I believe, from time to time to read that God is able. Or to read, again, that is anything too difficult for the Lord? And the answer is no. Or to read, as we just read, nothing will be impossible with God. And so I hope that as we look at these things, and even tonight, that it puts a little bit of oil upon your flame. But now here we are in this situation where Mary is being told something I think impossible. It's definitely impossible with men. And she's reeling under this, and she says, "Well, how can this be?" And I don't read this as so much of unbelief as just she's staggered by the announcement, because it seems to have such a sense, as you read it, of imminent happening. And she's engaged, but she's not married yet. And they're much purer back in those days than we are in ours. And so she asked the logical question, how can this be? How can I have a child when I'm not married and I don't know a man? And you're talking about things that seem imminent. How is this possible? And he explains to her, this is how it will be. The power of the Spirit will overshadow you. And God himself will do this thing. And so that this holy offspring will be called the Son of God. And while your mind might be reeling in that, then he backs this up with his assurance. And it's very encouraging. He says, even, this verse 36, your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. In other words, to encourage your faith and to help you to realize that this is possible, something else impossible has just happened. Well, it's going on currently. And I pondered this. You know, she had the examples of the past. Israel had, their nation was founded and fed by miracle. Sarah, Abram's wife, Sarai, and he becomes Abraham, she becomes Sarah, right before the little baby is born, that little bundle of laughter, Isaac, who marries a woman named Rebecca, who's also barren, and they pray for 20 years before a child or two comes along. And then one of those children, Jacob, marries, and his favorite wife, it's like Billy's my favorite wife. His favorite wife, Rachel, what's her situation? Barren, right? And then it goes on, and then you meet women like Hannah, and then you meet a woman with no name. She's called Manoah's wife. And then you realize that some of Israel's greatest men were born out of barrenness. It was the sort of thing that, you know, if you really needed someone great, go look for a barren woman and then let her start praying. And then God would send a Samuel, or God would send a Samson, or God would give you this, or God would give you that out of an impossible situation. But she could rightly think, man, that was a long time ago, though. We haven't seen anything like this for years. The times have changed. Things are different now. Remember, we're at the end of that 400 years, and nothing's been said openly. Nothing's been done that we have recorded for us. Oh, there's been some back and forth and some progress and some decline. I know that. But basically, nothing that would say God can do anything. But now, we turn to the old blessed formula of finding a barren man and a barren woman. And let's bring a baby up out of that. And so he says, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. This is like the old days, isn't it? This is like the tales of old. This is the experiences of our forefathers. God is doing it again. Oh, what a stunning and gloriously encouraging event this must have been. In fact, we read that when John the Baptist is born, the whole place rejoices for God's mercy and the sense of, what will this baby turn out to be? God's doing something. Well, all right. In the midst of all that encouragement, he says, now think upon this and then remember that with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, this is what she had to believe, that she, out of her virginity, was going to bear someone who would be named Joshua. Savior, Messiah, if you will. And I like all the wills that are in this section. He will be this, he will be that, and you shall call him this, and this will happen, and God will do this. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. Now that's where I'm saying, you know, time out. What do you mean, Son of the Most High? And he explains it to her as best she needs to hear it, as best we need to have it written for us. It's explained, not in detail, but in theory. And in the broad outline, God is going to do this. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end. My, that's incredible, isn't it? Well, in God, it's credible. It's believable. And so we see her saying what? Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, this story is so old. We've heard it all of our lives. Our parents have told it to us. On their knees, we've heard it in Sunday school. It's the sort of thing we sing about, and we get it in our Christmas cards. But just stop and think upon this. This little Hebrew girl is going to have the Son of Almighty God, and he would be called Great. He would be called Redeemer. He was going to rule and reign on the throne of his father David. He's taking her back to the promise God made to David, isn't he? One of your descendants, I'll sit upon your throne, and he'll reign forever. It's this glorious circle being closed, and he's saying, you're it. Every Hebrew maiden secretly longed for this and pined that she might be the one to bring in the promised seed. And the angel's telling her, you, Mary, you're that one. And this holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. This made, as we saw in 1 John, this made the heretics just, their gears stripped and the smoke came out of their ears and they just reeled over the impossibility of this. They said, no. Not only is it improbable, it's impossible. What does the angel say? Nothing will be impossible with God. Aren't you glad for that sentence? I hope it encourages your faith. And if it doesn't, maybe the next time we look at it, maybe that will. And if that doesn't, we'll just keep saying it. We'll keep pouring oil on this little flame. And maybe, just maybe, our hearts will begin to leap and we'll begin to know in the depth of our being, with God, nothing is impossible. Let's pray.